Guys, excited to hear the word of God this morning. I'm so excited that I forgot we had other announcements here, but I am so blessed to introduce our speaker this morning. I have had an opportunity to work alongside of this individual and to just watch how God has worked mightily in Pastor Mary's life. She's a woman of God. You can see the love of God that is in her heart. She's full of the word of God and full of the compassion of God. Wherever Pastor Mary comes and goes, she brings forth the life of Jesus Christ and his light. And I just would like to say to you personally, Pastor Mary, I am so thankful that you are in my life, and I honor you. So stand to your feet as we receive the word of the Lord from Pastor Mary.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's such an honor to be with you this morning. I feel like I'm just home. You know, this is what this is. It's home. And I'm just honored that I get to be here speaking to you. A lot of you should be teaching me and have been teaching me for many, many years. And these are big shoes to fill. You know, there's so many big shoes represented here on the stage. So it's my honor to be here talking with you this morning. A little bit of fun today. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. And Gary, it was so nice to see you up there. Wasn't it? You're back. It was a beautiful sound having the trumpet back, and so thank you. It was so good, so good. But today we're going to have a little bit of fun. I'm going to Nepal with Catherine in October, and this service is just going to be a little bit of what we're going to do and how we're going to take a little bit of church on the North Coast to the mountains of Nepal and bless them, because you guys are here and you're giving and you're faithful. But first, before I speak a little bit about faith today, I'm going to ask Catherine to come up. Catherine Sears, many of you don't know her because she attends our Valley View location, but you have family this morning meeting all across Northern Ohio, and you should be proud of that because there's powerful people meeting over in Wycliffe, and they're your brothers and sisters. So Catherine is one of those that represents us in Valley View, not only in Valley View, but in Cuba and in Liberia and in Nepal. She has been all over, and she's just one of my many role models. When I look to her, I go, man, I want to be like her. And she's small in stature, but her spirit is so huge, and she is so fearless. So I'm going to ask her just to come and share. She went to Nepal last year, and she invited me to go with her this year. So welcome, Catherine, as she comes and shares a little bit about our trip.
In Jesus, I'm really tall. Praise God. I'd like to just close our eyes just for a moment and just put our hands up to the Lord. Lord God, we know that we can do nothing of eternal value without you, and we wouldn't even want to. Lord, you look to the little baby, and you look to the senior citizen. You look to each one of us to totally surrender our lives to you. And we are so valuable in you. Lord, we are your vessels. We are your powerhouses, Lord God, just because you have chosen to make us that. No matter how big or how little, no matter how super intelligent or how simple, God, you have called us to be fishers of men. You have called us, Lord, to be filled with your power and your glory, to be your ambassadors to this world. And we thank you and we praise you and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Lord, come. Lord, we desire earnestly revival. We desire it for our neighborhoods. We desire it for our family members, God. We desire it for Nepal. We desire it for China. We desire your presence to come like never before, Lord, because we want you glorified in our lives, you glorified in this nation, you glorified in this globe, Lord God, because you created us. You created all mankind. You created the universe, Father. And Lord, you deserve all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And we thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'd like to turn to a well-read pasture. No, that's not the word. I'm turning to the Bible. Passage. Thank you, passage. And it is Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said, his famous last words, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we tell people about Jesus, it's scary, isn't it? But Jesus said, "I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." It doesn't matter if we're going to the ends of the earth or if we're witnessing to the people looking at the chicken in Hainan's. It makes no difference. It's just as scary. Amen. But God has called us and he's living within us and he gives us that power and authority. He gives us that confidence. Why? Because of Acts 1:8. "I will give you power. I'll give you that authority. Go forth in my name." And we go forth in his name, nobody else's name. We don't give glory to anybody else but Jesus because he's amazing. Let's just turn real quickly to John. I love this scripture. It's just amazing that when we're born again and when we get filled with the Spirit, we're not alone. That just amazes me how we are not alone. We are endowed with power from on high. He lives in us. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives in us. He lifts us. He lifts us up out of the miry clay. I won't even tell you what I was like before I was saved. You wouldn't want to know, but God is amazing. He changes us, he ministers to us, and he uses us to go out and minister to other people. We're to be filled so full of his Spirit that we splash out all over the place. Are you ready to splash? Let's splash. Me and Mary are going to go splash on Nepal real good. Hallelujah. Chapter 15, verse 5 says, Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Have any of you spun your wheels and tried to do something and you're just wasting your time? You get nowhere and then you suddenly think, "Oh, I should pray about this." And then suddenly everything falls into place. Without him, we can do nothing. I've searched the house for something. My cell phone the other day, I was searching my purse. I even the car, everything. Couldn't find it. Oh, I didn't pray. And I said, "Lord, show me where that cell phone." Before I got it out of my mouth, I saw a picture of exactly where my cell phone was. And I went straight to it. It was upstairs on my Bible, on my desk, in my bedroom. I saw it. Without him. With him, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And as Pastor Mary said, I've been to numerous places. And I'm excited about what the Lord does. And back in April of last year, many of you, I'm sure, remember the devastating earthquake that Nepal had. Thousands of people crushed. The interior up in the mountains got it the worst because of their poverty. They don't build their homes very securely. They build them with large stones, but they don't cement them. They've put mud between the stones. And so when the earthquake came, the stones fell down. They had only seconds. They couldn't get out of their homes in time. They didn't realize what was happening. And thousands of people were crushed in their own homes under those stones. And up in the mountains, it's very cold. It gets cold, although Nepal is a warm place. But there is snow up in the mountains. And I heard about this earthquake on the radio, and I started to just really intercede for Nepal and for these, the people who were left behind, who were devastated, who were homeless. And as I started to pray, I just got a sense, go. And I thought, but Lord, I'm steeped in plans for Liberia, West Africa. This has been my mission for the last X number of years. And it just seems strange to suddenly think about going to another country. And I said, I have no contacts. I don't know anyone in Nepal. If you want me to go to Nepal, then show me, you know, take me to someone who has contacts in Nepal. I turned on the radio. It was that day. I turned on the radio and I heard a familiar voice. It was Pastor Joseph Harvey, who heads up the House Church Network in the Cleveland area. We're friends on Facebook, and he'd just come back from Nepal, and Moody Bible Institute was interviewing him. And I said, okay, Lord, is this a confirmation? Am I supposed to be going to Nepal? And so I called him, and he said, I'm going back in July, but you probably won't want to go that soon. This was in April or May. And he said, but I'm going back again in September. You're welcome to come if you'd like to. So he said, I'm teaching at YWAM, you know, Youth with a Mission, the base there. And what would you like to teach? And I said, well, the thing that I'm most familiar with is missions and evangelism. And so he said, okay, da-da-da-da-da. And so when I got there, the director of the base said, I'm so glad that you were able to come for our Missions and Evangelism Week. I said, oh, it's your Missions and Evangelism Week? I didn't know. But that was just a confirmation that the Lord had called me to do that. And it was a very exciting week. And then we went on. I spent 3 days with Pastor Hari, who is our connection here to Nepal. And then I went to Pokhara, which is the second largest city in Nepal, and ministered with some church planting young people. And we're going to be doing something similar. And Mary and I are the two teachers for 1 week at the YWAM Bible School there in Kathmandu. And so pray for us. Pray that we our throats and voices don't run out. And Nepal is a very interesting little nation. It is sandwiched between, well, it's actually surrounded by, that I just saw that picture up there. This is part of the church planting team in Pokhara, who we'll be working with for our last week there. And this is Pastor Hari, who you've all heard of. I was teaching at a women's conference in that picture. And this is how the people in the mountains who lost their homes, this is how they have to live right now, in plastic tents. It's cold, and they don't have much at all. They lost everything. And so I'm trusting that your hearts will go out to them, just like mine has, just like what the Lord has now laid on Mary's heart. And we just hurt for them. And we can't wait to get there and to just encourage them and minister to them. And with blankets and Bibles. And but the gospel is just really getting into Nepal. There were a few Jesuit priests in the 1600s who tried to get in there. They stayed for a while. It didn't last long, and they got kicked out. And then in 1932, in Bengal, which is a very small nation right by there, the New Testament was translated into Nepalese, but they weren't allowed to go into the nation. It's the percentage of Hindus is very, very high. And then there's a small amount of Buddhists and a much smaller amount of Christians, but it's growing. The percentage of Christianity is just really skyrocketing. They, In the 1950s, missionaries started going in there, but it was in a developmental type way. They would go in there and build hospitals, schools, and minister to the people just through their good works, but they weren't allowed to preach. And so we see a work starting in Nepal, but the believers there are brand new. I mean, most of the believers there have no experience. And Mary and I are privileged and honored to take 40 years of Bible teaching that's in our hearts to take over there to minister to the ministers. At YWAM, we'll be teaching a young group of people who then will be going out into the streets for 2 months ministering the gospel. And then when we get to Pastor Hari's church, we'll be ministering to his church, to his people, and they will be going out. When we get to Pokhara, we'll be ministering to the group of people who are probably 25 to 30, and they are church planters, and they are planting churches in various villages. And we will be doing some footwork to encourage the villagers to go up there. We will also be helping to evangelize, but our number one mission is to equip the young people to do the work. He's called us to equip them because they don't have much in the way of Bible teaching because they're such babies in Christ. So I don't know if you can tell, but I'm kind of excited about the trip. And I love you all, and I thank you for this opportunity to share. Mary gave me 15 minutes, and I've probably taken 15 minutes, right? Okay. But can we just bow our heads now, just for a moment, just to pray for Nepal? The one lady that you saw in that picture, her name is Kripa. And in her very small village of about 150 people, 75 people died in the earthquake. Half of these villages, sometimes two-thirds of these villages, were wiped out. And what you have left is people who are devastated because they've lost their families, depressed, empty because they don't know Christ. And we are going in there, and it will take the Holy Spirit and power to fill that void, because Mary and I don't have what it takes unless we're carrying Jesus in our hearts in power and authority. So let's bow our heads, and if you could agree with me in prayer. Thank you, precious Lord. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord, that you are getting your church ready. Father, that you are coming back, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Lord, you're moving upon us here in the United States. You're moving upon every nation in this world because you love each and every one. Lord, you desire that not one perish, not one, but all should be brought to repentance. So, Father, I just ask this congregation to agree with me in prayer. Lord, that you send us out in your power, that you send us out. Lord, that you prepare the hearts of men, women, and children as we go forth into Nepal to share your love and your word, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you to Catherine. Isn't she powerful? For those of you that might not have been able to make the connection with Pastor Hari, we kind of met him through Pastor Paul Hubbard. He's been here many times. And Church on the North Coast, you guys were there with a really great offering immediately after the earthquake. We were able to send him thousands of dollars and bless his ministry so that he could bless the local people there in Nepal. So you have already blessed Nepal, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that with us today after the service. I wanted to take you guys with us. And I thought of a really cool way to do that is we found a distributor in Kathmandu and asked him for a really good price on some homemade, handmade blankets. So these are from Kathmandu, Nepal. They shipped in just this week. And when you donate $40 to buy a blanket and take it home, not only can you pray for us in October when we're there, But we will take the money and we will also buy a blanket for one of the families up in the villages and a Bible like this one. And you can check it out in the back there at the table. But we will take those up to the mountains, about 2-hour hike, right? 2 to 3 hour hike. And we've been training for that. We've been ready for that. We're getting ready for that. But this will be right from you. And so that's a gift right from our family here at church. So please see us in the back. We'll be in the back and you can touch the blankets and feel them. They're beautiful colors and you can look at the words. And I don't think anybody in here can read Nepalese, but it is a New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. So tonight, before I get started in my story of faith, tonight, Carol Ward from Uganda, Favor of God Ministries, she's in town and she is going to be in Valley View and is inviting all of us to come pray with her at 6 p.m. You know, it's not a coincidence that it's September 11th, and she wants to pray for our nation, for our country. We all need to be joining her in that. If you can go, please go, because it's powerful when we corporately pray together. But she's got an awesome teaching on prayer as well. You know, she's trained up hundreds of little kids to pray all night long. So she has got some really great prayer teaching. Amen. So if you're available, please join us there. And I believe it's Monday and Tuesday as well, right? 6 o'clock tonight. And is it 7 tomorrow? 6 every night. Okay. Okay. And that's in our Valley View location. So I'm just going to share a little bit, I won't be really long, about kind of a faith story, and I'm going to be really transparent and really real with you, and a lot of it has to do with my decision to go to Nepal. I don't even think Catherine really knows how close I was to backing out and not going, even though my ticket was already paid for. I thought, I can't do this, God, I can't do this. But this is why God said, no, get in the race of faith. And trust me and go for the big prize. And so that's what I'm doing. And I want to challenge you to do that as well. In Matthew 17:20, it says, I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. And nothing would be impossible for you. Nothing would be impossible. You know, when I read that scripture verse, I focus so much on my little faith. Because we've all seen the pictures of the mustard seed, right? It's like smaller than a sunflower seed. You can barely see it. It fits between your finger like this big. And I'm thinking, God, I can't even get faith that big? Really? So then if I focus on that size of faith, I tend to get defeated, right? And I'm like, okay, this isn't working. Or if I take that verse and I focus on the mountain, now I'm intimidated and I'm overwhelmed and I'm a little bit depressed. I'm thinking, 16 hours on one leg of a trip? I can't do that, God. My back will be screaming at me. I can't do that. That mountain's too big for me. This is too much for me, right? Some of us have a disease that's looming over it. The mountain's too big. But in this scripture verse, I believe God is saying, don't focus on the faith. Don't focus on the mountain. Focus on me. Focus on me. I'm big enough. I'm big enough. God wants us to focus on him. He's the point, right? Jesus is the whole point. He's the whole message. So him all the time, no matter what, our focus has to be him. It says it, looking unto him. The author and the finisher of our faith. Pastor just preached that a couple weeks ago. Looking unto him, our focus has to be Jesus. In the Voice translation, it says the designer and the perfecter of our faith. Shouldn't we be paying attention to the one who created our faith? The one who designed it, who fashioned it, who formed it and gave it to us, right? We should be watching him, watching his every move, doing what he is doing, listening to what he is saying, and then stepping into it. When I think about this, I picture this little girl standing on her daddy's feet and holding his hands. And as he moves, what does she do? She moves. Where he goes, she goes. Right? When he's talking, she's listening. That's it. That's it. And Jesus did it. He modeled it for us. It says it. He says, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. I don't say anything unless I hear the Father saying it, right? That is what our faith is about. That is what this life of faith is. We have made it so complicated, right? We have made it so intangible and so elusive. This faith, we're trying to grab it. We're trying to find it. We're trying to muster up this little tiny mustard seed because that's what we think our goal should be. But our goal is Him. It's just got to be Him. It's just got to be Him. That is faith defined. That is faith defined. So this morning, this is an interactive message. I want you to get involved. I want you to be willing to be active in this message. There's some verbs. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to challenge you your faith today. I want you to understand that the dance of faith that we are called to live and to learn how to let Him lead. This is a dance of faith, and He leads. We don't lead. We don't get to decide what's good for us. He leads, and we follow, right? That's what faith is. We need to take time to recognize the level of faith that we're operating in. Let's be honest with ourselves. What level of faith am I living my everyday in? Am I trusting Him for more? Am I going for the big one? Let's do this together. Let's recognize the level of faith we're in and choose to take it to the next level. Let's discover the possible consequences and results of living in this new level of faith. Let's push for faith. We want to leave here today and believe for more. Go for more. Possess His kingdom. Every single one of us in here, go out and possess His kingdom. And it looks different for each one of us. That's the whole point. This is a race. Did you know you're in a race this morning? Yeah. We are in a race. And first of all, that's the first step. We have to understand it. You know, I've always tried to stay active. I've always tried to exercise, and it was bike riding, and then it was rollerblading, and then it was spinning, and then I would try to walk real fast, but I could never run. Ever, ever, ever run. And I would declare it. I can't run. I'm not a runner because I can't breathe. So I end up panting and I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Well, one day I thought, you know what? Why can't I do this? Everybody else can do it. So I mustered up the faith to believe I could run. And my friend Lisa, who she's here today, she brought her beautiful self and her family. And she moved back into town, and I saw her on Facebook. She was an amazing runner. So I got brave enough, and I said, Lisa, will you teach me to run? And she did. And she took me out, and she pushed me, and she taught me how to breathe, and she said, you can do this. And she worked out with me a little bit. And you know what? After about 6 weeks, after about really trying hard and really learning to breathe and really learning to stretch myself, I could run like a few miles. Isn't that awesome? So, and that's just an example, but, and I can't run fast. I wrote down in my notes, both your grandma and your four-year-old can probably run faster than me because I don't run fast yet. But every time I run, I have my timer on and I challenge myself to run a little bit faster, to go a little bit harder, to do a little bit better because that's the race of faith. That's the race of faith, and that's where Lisa inspired me the most, because she runs to win. She runs to win. The first race we went in, doesn't she, Kennedy? She runs to win. The first race we went in, it was the turkey trot, and it was last year, and it was 3.3 miles, 5K, and I was terrified, because I'm like, 3 miles? I can't run 3 miles? And so we get there, and it's a little bit cold, but it wasn't too bad, and we're running around the school just warming up because that's what she told me I need to do is warm up. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to warm up. And I couldn't keep up with her. She's like running too fast for me when I'm warming up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I can do this. I can do this. Well, we ended up running and she has this passion to win. And she was running to win and she did. She took first place in her category that day. She's amazing, amazing, amazing. But it's not just about running, but she also pushes in other areas of her life. She challenges herself to believe for more spiritually and in her job and in her career and in her family and the way she parents and the way she's a daughter and a sister. She challenges herself. It's that competitive. It's that drive for more. It's that faith that she believes she can do more. And that was huge for me. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to take that passion and that competitive spirit and put it into my life for faith. I want to do more for God. I want to do anything he calls me to do. It doesn't matter if it looks like I shouldn't be able to accomplish it. It doesn't matter if my qualifications don't come alongside and back me up, right? He's told you to do something. You can do it. You can do it. And so I wanted to live that way. And Hebrews 12:1, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." This is not just about me and my little running experience. This is about God has given you a race. He's given you a race in life. And it looks different than mine, and it looks different than Lisa's, and it looks different than Catherine's and Pastor Kayton's. You have a race, and God has designed it for you to run. You know what? Sometimes our race gets messy, right? When we're running in 90 degrees, and we're sweaty, and now we hit a hill, and we got to run up a hill, and you have to be careful of how you breathe because bugs get in your mouth, right? And you're sweaty, and it's getting in your eyes. Life is messy. Our race is messy, and it gets difficult, and it gets hard. Or if it's cold, right, that's even worse because now your eyes are watering and your nose is running, right? But we have to keep running. We have to be committed to the race. Doesn't matter what we go through. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." God is calling you to run, to win your race. We can't be satisfied with slowing down and giving up and quitting because there's a hill in front of us. Or it gets hard or it gets difficult. Or we look around and we're like, man, I'm alone. Where did everybody else go? Right? We got to keep running because God is calling us to win. You know, a runner will tell you, and you've said this to me before, running is mostly mental. You know, even if it's late at night or you don't feel good or you're not feeling the love of running, you got to tell yourself in your head that you're going to do this. And it's mental. It's a mental game. It's not that you can't run anymore. Sometimes I start running, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. What happened? You know, it's up here, right? It's the same thing about faith. Life gets hard and we go, oh God, I can't do this anymore. Every week, not just running, but in faith, I can't do this anymore, God. Can I just be this kind of person? Can I just kind of hide in the shadows and go away? God's saying, no, you're running. Get in there. Get up. Start running again. I don't care what happened. I got you. I got this. You can do this. And that's what God says to us. Paul said, stir yourself up in the faith. This is your job. This is our job, is to stir ourselves up in the most holy faith, even when times get tough, even when we're running and we're tired and we feel like we're going to fall or we're in physical pain and we don't know if we can do it anymore. We have the responsibility to stir ourselves up in the faith and say, you got this. You can do this. We have the word of God to quote to ourselves what God said about us, right? You know, Paul and Sue aren't here today. They're going to prepare for Avon. And there are some good workout trainers. Has anybody ever worked out with Paul and Sue? Okay, they will make you work out, okay? And I don't go all the time, but when I do go, they have this whiteboard, and they write down all the exercises that you're going to do that day. And you look at it, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do that, right? But it's a plan. And so today, we're going to give you 3 points on your faith workout plan, okay? So you can go home and you can remember and you can have 3 things to work out on your faith and you can grow and you can tell yourself to run faster. Okay. So the first one, if you have your phone, open up a note so you can write it down. Or if you have a piece of paper, write it down. It's simple, but there's levels to this and there's application in this. And this application is that those verbs I was talking about earlier. So number one is understand the call of God on your life. Understand the call of God on your life. The call starts when we were called to salvation. The call of God started when he said, I want to be your Lord, and I died for you. And when you said yes to Jesus, the call of God started in your life. But after that, there's a unique thing that God's called you to do. There's a special thing that he's called you to do. It could be, I'm looking at some of you, it could be to be an amazing mother. It could be to be a powerful businessman. It could be to be a youth pastor or a missionary. And for so many years, I've seen young people receive this call of God when they were 13 and 14 years old. And it's burning so strong in their hearts. And they're so passionate about growing up and being in the ministry and being a youth pastor. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Life happens, right? They trip. Maybe they fall into sin or they have a bad relationship and they forget the call that they first got. Something happens to them. They forget the call that they just first had. And it's faint. It's like, it's a quiet memory. And they're like, yeah, okay. Okay. If it happens, okay. Right? Some of you in here, you remember. You remember what God said to you a long time ago. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. But that call still remains. God still has that for you. Remember, even if the race gets messy, that call is still exists for you. And God wants you to jump into it. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The New American Standard says, you have an upward call. You have an upward call. Your heavenly destiny. You received a heavenly destiny from Jesus. And he is standing there at the end of the race calling you. He's saying, remember what I told you to do? Come on. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. Keep going. Pick up your pace. Run a little faster. Don't slow down. Don't slow down. He's saying, come on, I have this. I'm waiting here for you at the end of the race. Get running. Get running. We have to remember and understand the call of God on our life. Remind ourselves. Remind ourselves. You know, even the prodigal son did it. He had messed up. He knew he was a son, but he left. He walked away, and he's sitting in the pig pen. And he asked himself, he said, why am I sitting here eating with pigs? Why am I sitting here eating with pigs? He said, even my father's servants eat better than this. Sometimes we got to say, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I doing in life right now? I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I need to remember what God has called me to do and go back, right? Go back. And it was so fun that race when Lisa won and she ran way far ahead of me. She stopped after she went, and she turned around, and she ran back to me. And she said, Mary, you can do this. And she's running alongside me. She's like, you can do it. You're almost there. You got a little bit longer. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And that's what Jesus is at the end of the race going, run. You can do this. You got this. It's not much further. It's not that hard. You can do it. You've got to tell yourself, God has called me for more than this. Maybe fear, sickness, laziness, or even a bad attitude is slowing us down. We've got to get ourselves up, right? We've got to pick up the pace. So right now, we're going to ask Holy Spirit to bring back and bring an understanding of the call of God in our lives. You know, sometimes it looks different. If you received a call of God when you were 14, it's the same call, but now if you're 40, it's going to look a little different. Right? It could, and that's okay. God will give you understanding of what his call looks like right now. So this is how I pray when I really want Holy Spirit to do something in my life. I just put my hands out. So will you do that with me? Let's close our eyes. Let's ask Holy Spirit right now before we move on to number two. Holy Spirit, remind us of that first call we received. Remind us, Holy Spirit, what you've called us to do. Remind us that we are a son and a daughter and that we can do this. Let us see a picture of Jesus at the end of our race, calling us on, bringing us to the end, saying, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. Do it right now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number two, we need to remember his promises. Remember his promises. When you get a promise from God, we've got to write it down. We've got to pay attention. You know, we read the Bible and we have a verse jump out at us and it's all exciting. It's like, that's a good word. Did you write it down? You know, my mom always said, put that verse in your pocket, carry it around. Let it burn in your pants for a little bit, right? Pull it out. Remind yourself of the word of God spoken over you. If you receive a prophetic word from one of the altar ministers or somebody in your life that you can trust, remind yourself of that prophetic word. Keep it for years. Does it matter how long? God's promises remain. His promises remain. You know, I was sharing a little bit about Nepal. I thought, why am I even going to Nepal? What is going on? I'm scared. I'll just be really honest. I'm scared. And my husband didn't really want me to go. And everybody else is like, just don't go. You know, it's easier. Just don't go. And I'm like, I just am afraid of the 16-hour flight. I don't think I can sit down that long. And teaching 10 times? Hello, I don't like to do that. Right? And so I'm thinking, God, I don't think I can do it. I'm going to have to back out. Maybe we can find somebody else to go with Catherine. And I'm like struggling in my faith. And God said, and here's the craziest part. He wasn't talking. Don't you love that? Don't you love that when you're struggling with something and you're asking God, can you give me an answer? Can I have a clear yes or no? Can you tell me what's going to happen so I can avoid any tragedy, right? It's hard. But then all of a sudden, in one moment, it was actually during Troy's message on the avalanche, Holy Spirit said, I already gave you an answer. It was wrapped up in the promise you received. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay. I had to remember the promise. The promise was about a year ago in NCSSM, when we were with the students in a prayer time, we were praying for the nations of the world. Do you guys remember that? And I felt Holy Spirit say, you're going to go international. And I thought, what? Okay, that's cool. And then there was a confirming prophetic word that, yeah, you will. But, you know, just like us, just like everybody else, we just tuck that promise down in the back. And we think that all of this is going to look like this, and it's going to be this way. And then you get an invitation to go on an international trip, and you kind of don't catch the two together, and you forget, right? But Holy Spirit said, that is your promise. I already told you how to feel about going to minister internationally. I had to step into it. I had to remember the promise and step into it because he never goes back on his promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20, this is for every single promise that he's ever given you. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Stop second guessing the promises of God over your life. Jump into it. Jump into it. Some of us have just forgotten, but we need to remind ourselves. We need to jump into it. Peter knew this remembering was crucial when running the race. He knew that the race would get long and we would get tired. And this is what he said. He said in 2 Peter 1:10, he said, therefore, brothers and sisters, work that much harder to confirm what God has called you. That God has called you and he has claimed you. If you do this, then you will never fall along the way. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because right there when he says he's called you, say, this is my promise. He's called me. This is my promise. And he's claimed me. This is who I am. And this is what we have to tell ourselves. This is my promise, and this is who I am. As soon as you feel yourself slowing down and running, at least this is what I do, I lengthen my stride, and I pick my feet up higher. I pick my feet up higher. And the same thing we need to do is when we get tired, even our seasoned Christians in here, when we get tired and we don't feel like we're running at the level of faith we need to be running, we need to remind ourselves of who we are. That's why identity will never be an old message. It'll never become an old word. We can always get better at understanding who we are in Christ. I love this quote. It says, I cannot afford to have any thought in my head that is not in his head. About a month ago, I think a couple weeks ago, I was able to teach some of the fearless ladies, and we talked about self-talk. You know, we talk to ourselves more than we talk to anybody else. Throughout the day, in our minds, we're telling ourselves things. Oh, that was stupid. Oh, why did you say that? You look fat today. Right? Like, oh, constantly, constantly, constantly. That was a really dumb thing to do. I cannot afford to have anything in my mind about me that he does not have in his mind about me. My thinking has to line up with his. There is no time for variance. There's no time for variance. We have to remember the promises of God over our life and act in those promises. So right now, we're going to activate again. Remember, okay? Are you okay with this? Got to get involved. Number two, let's pray. Holy Spirit, remind us of the promises that you have given us. Right now, Holy Spirit, those things that we've tucked away, those things that we know were from you when we were quiet, when we were close to you, your promises are yes and amen. So this morning, let us walk away with fresh perspective on the promises of heaven over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. One more point is apply your faith. Apply your faith. Revelation without application leads to no transformation. I think in America here, we are so full of the word. We've got the word on YouTube and Christian television and all the books we could ever read and messages and messages and messages. We are full of the knowledge of God's word. But without application, we are never going to change. Without working it out for ourselves, without applying it to our lives, it's not going to do anything. Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of things we cannot see. The scripture verse is a very common one. But this thing called faith has a do. Faith has a do. Oftentimes, we want faith to just show up as evidence in our life, right? We want to muster up, okay, if I just believe enough, I'm going to become this amazing business person for God. No, faith has a do. That promise is a goal that the Holy Spirit set before you. And now he says, run, do. Do what you have to do to reach that promise, to reach that goal. It's evidence. It's substance. You know, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, when he was talking about all of those who lived in faith, all of those who lived in faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, you remember that scripture verse? It talks about all the witnesses that lived in faith. They all did something. They all obeyed God. They had a do in their faith. Our faith requires a do. What application does your faith require? For your promise, what is required so that you can see evidence as substance? Back to Sue and Paul. They're not here today. I'm going to have them watch it. But people will say that Sue is actually harder than Paul in her workouts. And I have worked out with her a few times. And it was cute. One time I remember I had a 10-pound dumbbell and I'm doing bicep curls. And there's like 30 ladies or something, maybe 15. I'm doing bicep curls. And Sue, she's so sweet. She walked past me and she looked at me and she looked at my 10-pound dumbbell. And she goes, I'm going to get you a 15-pound. And she walked over and she handed me a 15-pound dumbbell. And I was like, okay, right, I can do this. But she sweetly thought, you can do more. And isn't that just like the Holy Spirit? He goes, wait a minute. Come on. Come on. I'm going to challenge your faith. You can do more. You can do more. Push for the next level. Go for the bigger prize. Cedar Point. Everybody's been there, right? You haven't been there? Oh, my gosh. Cedar Point's amazing. But they have these carnival, the whole section of these carnival games. And you have the little prize, and you have the medium prize, and then you have the big prize. And we want to go for the big prize, right? But first of all, sometimes we have to go for the little prize. And parents usually run past these things because it just costs a lot of money. And you don't want to pay the $100 for this 5-foot lizard, right? Because then you have to like carry it around all the time. Oh, but that's what Holy Spirit, that's kind of what faith is. He's saying, what prize are you playing for? And I have a couple little friends that help us today. Are you guys back there? When we listen to the voice of the Father and we say, okay, I'm gonna do this, God. I'm gonna run and I'm gonna win this first prize of faith. Where are you? Come on, come on. And this is little London and she's helping me. And London, did I win this prize? Is it for me? Thank you. Thank you. And she's give her a hand. She's so sweet. And we win a little prize of faith. And Holy Spirit celebrates us. He's so excited. He's like, you did a great job. Your faith is bigger than it was before. And he is happy and he's excited for a moment. And then he says, play again. Play again. Are we going to say, okay, we'll play again. We'll go for the bigger prize. We'll go for more. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can win now. Oh, there's Bella. Hi, Bella. Is that my prize, Bella? Did I win the bigger one? Thank you. Thank you. Whoa. And then we win the bigger prize. And Holy Spirit says, good job. You won the bigger prize of faith. You did more. You picked up the 15-pound dumbbell, right? And then after a little while, he says, why don't you play again? Why don't you do something amazing? Why don't you do something really big for me? Something I know you can do. Something I knew you could do when you were in your mother's womb. That thing. Go for the big prize. And what does he do? He wins. You win the big one. Thank you, Cherish. This one's heavy. You win the big one because you're not afraid anymore. Because you have to step out in faith even when you are a little bit afraid. Right? There's a big prize of faith waiting for us. What size promise are we going for? We need to believe it. We need to watch Jesus at the end of the race and run like little children. Run to him. And that's what I began to do. I began to think about the little kids I would meet in the villages and the blankets I would take up to the mountains. And I began to think about those prizes instead of the 15-hour plane ride. I began to think about God and how big he is and how if he's called me to do something, I could do it. And he'll take care of the 10 times teaching. And he'll take care of the layover in China with 24 hours. He'll take care of all that. My focus has to be on him. Believe and you will receive. Matthew 21:22, and I'll hurry. It says in the Message version, but Jesus was matter of fact. Yes. And if you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like these, like I did to the fig tree, but also triumph over huge obstacles. This mountain, for instance, you'll tell, go jump in the lake, and it'll jump. Absolutely everything, ranging from small to large, as you make it a part of your believing prayer, gets included as you lay hold of God. See, we will act on our faith. We will, either way. We're going to act on our big faith and our big God, or we're going to act on the faith that we can't do it. What prize are we going for? I didn't want to grow a little bit older and think, I could have gone to Nepal, right? I could have done that, but I didn't. I could have taught that class, but I didn't. I could have started this ministry, but I didn't. Or I could have went out and believed God for a business, but I didn't. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want faith to manifest in my life that way. See, what's the difference between you and major world changers like Heidi Baker, like Reinhard Bonnke, like Catherine Sears, or like Pastor Kayaton? What's the difference? Nothing. Nothing. It's all about you believing God has said that you could do it and stepping out and doing it. So let's pray now for an application of faith. Are you ready? Each one of us, with our promise, has a next do. What is your next do? What is God telling you? Okay, here's the first step. He'll make it clear. He'll make it so clear to you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that as we open ourselves up to you, we ask you for our next step. We want to apply the do in faith. We want your word to transform our lives. We want it to look like something. Stir us up, Holy Spirit, and give us a clear picture of what to do next. Right here, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, see, as we close, I want you to realize this is so much bigger than your mountain and you. On in Hebrews 12, it talks about the great cloud of witnesses. And as it lists them in chapter 11, it said all those people had died in faith, some not fully receiving their promise. And I used to look at that verse and kind of be a little sad. You know, I thought, oh, they died and they didn't get to see the promise of God. But I believe what Holy Spirit is saying in that scripture verse is saying, he's saying, step back. I want to show you a different perspective of this race of faith. You see, our races connect. They're generational. There's a big picture here. And he was showing us that these people that ran the race of faith had a lot to do with what was coming in the next years. What was coming, how the kingdom was going to look. And here too, in this very room too, there's a connection. Because when we go out, when we run this race of faith, we're leaving a legacy. We're leaving a legacy. And I talk about this all the time, and I will not apologize for it. Because I see it. I've been here a long time. And I see it in our mothers and fathers and in our kids coming. And I see it in the future coming even further than I can imagine. You know, 20-some years ago, Pastor Kayton and Pastor Oldfield, they went down to a little island in the Caribbean, and they picked a piece of land. And now there's 40 kids living on that land, some adults. There's businesses that were birthed out of that land. Some of your very children went down to that land and received the call of God in their life, the destiny of heaven in their life on that land that they had the faith to believe God for. That you, some of you, had the faith to raise money for and to send money to. This is a legacy of faith. Judy Larson, I asked if I could share your story. 6 years ago, she fought a fight of cancer, and she won. Yeah. It wasn't an easy fight, and there's been fights since then. But every morning, she wakes up, and she goes over to the school that bought our building, and she pours life into children in the city of Lorraine. She tells them who they are. She hugs them. She holds them. She teaches them. That would have never happened if she gave up in that fight of faith. That would have never happened. And I know some of those kids. Some of those kids are our Joshua kids, are our Joshua teens. She was strong. She fought and she won. And now we see her legacy every day. Pam Hakem, I don't know if you're here today. There was a time where Pam had to fight for her business. She had to learn how to run a business. And she had to force herself to do it. But now that business blesses and feeds people every single week in the city of Lorraine. And it blesses individuals by giving and helping Pastor Tina furnish their house and pour life into the kids. There's a reason to run your race. We are creating momentum. There is destiny in each of these legacy stories. There is destiny in each one of them. I want my grandkids to know that I wasn't afraid to do what God's called me to do. I want them to know that I set a high ceiling for them, and that ceiling is their floor, and they can do more, and they can be more. They can do everything God's called them to do. It's about his expanding kingdom. Revival looks so much more than more church. There's so much more to it. It's about your business exploding and prospering. It's about you stepping into a career that hasn't been touched by Christians. It's about you developing new ways to educate children. It's about you sitting your little toddler on the couch and you teaching them the word of God and them hiding it in their hearts as their eyes light up and they understand who they are. This is about an expanding kingdom. The kingdom of God is not shrinking, despite what some naysayers want to say. It's not shrinking, it's expanding. In Isaiah 9, what verse is that? 9:7, it says, of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end. That government is not talking about a political office. That government means a rule and a dominion. It's Misra. Every single part of culture is expanding with the kingdom of God. And it's your job to jump into it. It's your job to jump into it. This is what lies on the other side of your mountain. You know, it's not about our faith. It's not about our mountain. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And he is ready for you to get running again. He's ready for you to get running again. This quote is awesome. If you live cautiously, your friends will call you wise. You just won't move many mountains. If you live cautiously, your friends may call you wise, but I want to move mountains. I want the big prize. Where is he? I want the big prize, right? Today, I want to invite all of us to just let Holy Spirit do some work in us. So as the worship team comes up, or if you're going to play a song, that would be fine too. But we're just going to allow him to come in today. And maybe you're here and you don't even know that you've for sure made Jesus Lord of your life. That's the first step. That's the first call, is to salvation. Is to accepting what he did on the cross and making him Lord. Letting him lead. Letting him tell you more about why you were born and what he's hidden inside of you. So if you've never done that, as altar ministers come up, I'd love for you to start this race right now. Start this race right now and give your life to Jesus. Because living for Jesus is so much fun. There's nothing better. When Holy Spirit can tell you to go talk to somebody, a perfect stranger, and you have the faith to believe and you go out and do it and God confirms. I met a girl from Peru the other day running around Crocker Park. God sent her from Peru to Crocker, and Holy Spirit had me talk to her. It's so much fun. Living with Holy Spirit is so much fun. Don't miss out. So if that's you today and you want to live for Jesus, just come up. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just come up. Just come and pray. Everybody stand so it's a little bit easier. But if you also need to just pray with somebody and believe with somebody that this call of God would become fresh in your life, and these promises of God would become fresh in your life, that you would remember and that you would have the ability to apply faith in what you do every day, I'd also like for you to come up and just receive prayer if you need that. You know, as I was praying for this week, I just kept hearing Holy Spirit say that you are so much more than you think you are. That's a word for somebody, because like 3 days in a row, it kept coming up. So I'm just going to tell you again, you are so much more than you think you are. Let Holy Spirit minister to you. Quit doubting who God is inside of you. Quit doubting the Spirit of God living inside of you. It has less to do with you and more to do with him. Learn to step and walk on his feet. Learn to hold his hands and keep your eyes fixed on his, and you can do anything. So Holy Spirit, as we close today, thank you for the practical. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the opportunity to run this race of faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, 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 amen. Well, today, if you, thank you. Today, if you'd like to partner with us and take a blanket home, promise to pray while it's sitting on your couch. But we'll ask for $40 so we can purchase another blanket when we get into Nepal, and then a Bible, and we will personally carry it up to the mountains for you. So love you all. Thank you for coming today, and we'll see you next week.